You know, I look back at sermons that I do and I start off real slow. I start talking to you like this and I go, man, why don't I just have pep in the beginning? Why do I have to rev the engine? You must get bored. So I better go faster before you fall asleep. I just fed you in the back room back there, right? So, because he lives, it's hard to believe that some of the people who went to go see Jesus in Galilee after he rose from the dead still didn't believe. I'm going to read the text to you in Matthew chapter 28, all 20 verses. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." I want you to keep that phrase, "as he said," for the rest of the day. He's risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So it's amazing that they went to see him and they didn't recognize that it was him. First the angel told Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, "Go quickly and tell the disciples that he arose," and then instructed them to go meet Jesus in Galilee. And by the way, they were encountered, weren't they, in verse 8 and 9. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James, were encountered in verse 8 and 9 as they were headed to tell the disciples. Some scholars believe that Galilee is the place where most of the believers were already gathered, so that's why he was saying, "Go meet me there." He wanted to have maximum exposure to them. Along the way, though, there were multiple encounters with Jesus, such as when Jesus joined the two disciples who were walking on the road to Emmaus. Astonishingly, our text in verse 17 again reads, "But some doubted." So once he had several encounters with people along the way, after he instructed the two women to go tell the disciples and to go tell them to meet him in Galilee, along the way towards telling them, several encounters occurred with individual disciples, including these two women. And astonishingly, he gets to Galilee, gets to a mountain on Galilee. And verse 17 it tells us, it says, but some doubted. But some doubted. And when they saw him, they worshiped him on this mountain. But some doubted. Doesn't the fact that Jesus' immediate audience didn't believe him remind you of yourself? I think most of us can relate how that some things happen to us that cause us to say, oh, that was a God thing. Think about those times when something happened in your life and you say the following words, that was definitely God. Haven't you had times where you were headed someplace, you received a phone call, so you ended up doing something else that day, and you met someone who you would have never met had you not received that phone call? Even so, life begins to happen, and all of the ups and downs occur. You get sick, people you love pass away, there's tension at home, and before you know it, doubts creep in where there used to be trust, where there used to be faith. It seems that what you and I share in common with those we've encountered in today's passage is that we, just like our forefathers in the faith, are slow to believe. We're slow to believe. Number one, we're slow to believe the resurrection actually happened, just as the immediate audience was. Even though he appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary at the tomb, as we saw in our text, then he appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary in verses 8 and 9 in Matthew 28, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 and following, to 10 of the 11 disciples, Judas being gone, Thomas not being there, to 10 of the 11 disciples in Luke 24, 36 through 42. He appeared to disciples on the shore of Galilee in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 25, and to the apostles right before he ascended in Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And then I want to take you to where the big crowd was on the mountain in Galilee. I'm turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I'm in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that is Paul, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And this was written in roughly 65-70 AD. Then verse 7, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, Paul speaking, as to the one, to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So all of this happened as a proof. We're also slow to believe that we've been saved. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, it says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Listen to this: since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. As he said, Remember, I told you to remember that. As he said, has he not said? God is not a man. You won't get tired of this. Numbers 23:19, that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Has he said it? And shall he not do it? Has he spoken it? And shall he not make it good? Has he said? So when the cares of the world and the lust of other things creep into your life, as we said earlier, we start to slowly transition away from trust and belief to doubt. Am I really a Christian, given the way that I think, given the temptations that I have, given the temper I just showed, given the unkindness that just came out of me, out of nowhere? We say it wasn't in my character to say that. Oh, yeah, it was. You said it. It's in your character. We say it wasn't in my character to do that. Yeah, it is. We're imperfect, but he makes us his. And as we talked about on Good Friday, we're justified by not our own justice. We're sinners saved by grace. We're sinners. Every one of you is going to sin a few hundred times more today. I don't know what you're going to do. I just know you're going to do it. You say, what, Pastor Jay? Well, I'm a good person. I know, and you're going to sin a couple hundred more times today still. And you're going to go to the Lord and say, Father, I didn't mean to think that. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. Please forgive me. And what's he going to do if you're sincere? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess it, as if we call it what God calls it, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness hundreds of times a day. But we're not saved by being perfect. We're saved unbelievably this way. I repent after I heard the gospel that Jesus died for my sins and that he was raised for my justification. I trust him, and that unfair transfer happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him to be sin, Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And how do we become the righteousness of God? By believing God. What did Abraham do in Genesis 15? He was told that he was going to be, the families of all the earth would be blessed through his progeny. It said, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him. It was reckoned to him. He was considered by God righteous, not perfect, righteous. So when I trust Jesus, I am made just because he's just. So when God views you and views me, he views you, as it were, shrouded with a robe that says Jesus on it, around you, wrapped up in that robe. He's looking at you and you go, oh, that's one my son died for. And he counts you as righteous. Now, of course, you're supposed to be living it out. You're supposed to be walking forward toward into practical righteousness. But as you stand, whatever step you're on right now, you're his and you bear the righteousness of Christ. Even though we sometimes struggle, I do, even though we sometimes struggle to believe that he lives and that we can face tomorrow, and even though we sometimes have doubts as to whether we're saved, we need to go back to the words that we saw in our passage, in our text this morning, in Matthew chapter 28. Do not be afraid, it says in the latter part of verse 5. I'm sorry, in verse 6, he is not here, the angel told Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, for he has risen as he said. Has God said it? So I spend a lot of my time during the week fighting back my inborn tendency to not trust God, to not believe that I'm actually his. I mean, we heartily sang this song, and I got up on the microphone and I said, he is risen, and you all responded back, he's risen indeed. But inside of us, there's just this, Is it true? Is it true? Is it true? And that's why the scripture reminds us faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can hear it on the radio. You can hear it today, this morning. You can hear it as you read it. You can hear it as you memorize it. You can hear it as you teach it. You need to park your feelings. So you are going to, from time to time, not feel saved. Well, you weren't saved, first of all, by your feelings in the first place. So you're not going to believe that you're saved by your feelings. You're going to believe that you're saved because God said it. When my father-in-law was laying on his deathbed in the dining room in a hospital bed, he was having doubts. This is a man that God saved radically, who was a pastor. He's dying, but as your body begins to decay, it has an effect on your mind. And he said, but then I pick up the book again and I read what God says about who I am and what he's done for me, and I change my mind. But he started to quiver there at the end because that's how it is. I quiver today, and I'm not sick. And I'm sure you do. You share that. So I want you to go away today bearing in mind that he's said it. When the doubts come, I want you to ask the question, okay, Mr. Doubt, but what did God say about it? What did God say about it? And then you need to decide to believe him instead of your feelings, because you're going to have thousands of those today. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? I can just do this with you, right? You don't need the Supremes back up here, do you? We're going to sing Because He Lives. Oh, there they are. All right. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride And so, as you go on your way, I hope you take Jesus with you. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things for his glory. He is risen. God bless your week.